Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is Full of Hot
and Cold
Air. On today's episode, we are talking social media. Is it valuable? How can you use it? Where is it going? All of that fun stuff. Here we go. I am the host, Mary Beth Heckler. This is my co-host, or he might argue that he's the host.
I don't think it matters really who's what here. We're co-hosts, but hi, I'm Brendan Heckler, Vice President of Comfort Supply, and thanks for joining us again on Full of Hot and Cold Air. Today we're talking about social media.
We are. So this is a question that we get asked kind of repeatedly from different contractors. What is it and why do I need it? So we hope to dig into that a little bit today and hopefully give a good argument for why you should be on social media.
Yeah, this definitely isn't going to end with us talking you out of getting involved in social media.
This is true.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. This is going to end with us getting a perspective from some younger people. I think people would argue that we are kind of young, but younger than us, we're going to get a millennial's perspective. True millennial's perspective on social media, because ultimately these millennials that we love to rag on so much have a lot of buying power, and so we need to be able to market to them. So we'll get there, but first we're going to take a couple detours and begin with kind of the history of social media and how we use it, how we got here, as well as some best practices. And of course, we would be remiss if we did not talk privacy concerns. That's a huge issue that a lot of people are worried about, so we will cover that as well. But first, I have to give a little bit of credit to my co-host here, Brendan. He really was, as he would say, the genius behind the social media movement at Comfort Supply.
I don't think I've ever used that word to describe myself.
Big expensive brain is how he puts it. He was kind of the driving force behind us getting involved in social media about 5-7 years ago. I don't know.
Yeah, about that.
And at the time, I was not involved with the company at all, but he was trying to lead up some marketing efforts, and he kept saying, oh, I think we need to be on Facebook. I think we need to be on Twitter. And from an outsider's perspective, I probably, like a lot of you, thought, that's crazy. Who cares? You're an HVAC wholesaler. Why do you need to be on Facebook? Because back at the time, social media was really just a place for friends to post pictures of themselves from the weekend, and I didn't really have my brain around it being a valuable marketing tool. So I'll let you speak to your stroke of genius or just that big old brain of yours. Why did you think this was a good idea, and how did you get that foresight?
Well, you know, it really started as more of an example for our customers, the local HVAC contractors, as kind of just how to use social media. And I think the end goal was definitely, you know, this can help your business. This is how, you know, this is the way of doing business of the future. But I, you know, not a lot of, you know, I wish I could say there was this grand vision, but it was really just trying to get our contractors involved with a different way of doing business that I saw valuable as someone who was starting to just see the trend of, you know, social media, Facebook, Twitter, you know, Instagram. And really, we just started with a simple Facebook page and a simple Twitter account to, again, show our contractors, this is how you do it, you know. Throw a picture of a job up there. Throw a $50 coupon, a special, you know, working on Mrs. Smith's house. Do you live down the street from Mrs. Smith, you know? And again, we're not doing that. We're not on those service calls and in the field every day. But by showing examples of our jobs and our service, then we certainly thought you know, maybe a guy or two would catch on. And over time, it really, I think we were lucky to see it evolve into what it's grown into. And that's, you know, obviously we've got the social presence that we have today.
Yeah. So I think, you know, kind of to go back, you know, 5-7 years ago, businesses weren't really on Facebook, but you could always that was the trend. Everybody knew this was sort of coming down the pipeline, and in the future, everybody is going to be on Facebook. So I think you kind of got ahead of the trend there, and you said, okay, well, if this is the direction that we're going, I want to be one of the first people there. So I think that was, had a lot of foresight, and, you know, sometimes it takes courage to pioneer something like that, because at first, if you're the only guy out there on social media, it's, people can sometimes point and be like, well, why is Comfort Supply on there? This is weird.
You know, yeah. I think they definitely did. We would answer questions all the time at distributor meetings and events with other distributors, you know, what's up with that. And, you know, over time you saw the manufacturers start to get on board, and, mm-hmm. and of course then the conversation flipped, and they were encouraging, you know, the distributors to get involved. We don't like to pat ourselves on the back, but if there's something that other people aren't doing, then we're the ones that are going to give it a shot and give it a try. That's something that we hang our hats on at Comfort Supply, is always pushing the envelope, trying something new, and social media and the podcast exactly are two very good examples of that.
Yeah. So let's talk then, how is this valuable in terms of the supply chain? So we'll start all the way, like, from the manufacturers that we work with all the way down to the homeowner. So we have quite a couple pit stops in between. But beginning with the manufacturers, I think we've seen kind of the seismic shift over, I don't know, the past year, definitely 2 years, of different manufacturers that we work with, most notably Mitsubishi Electric and American Standard, starting to bring a lot of content onto social media, be it Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I think we've seen, like I said, a big shift that's sort of where they're marketing to now. And this wasn't necessarily the case a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and I think for I guess call them the big players, you know, the Mitsubishi, the American Standard, the Carriers, the Trains, the Lennox, the Bryants. There's that, you know, they've all got the presence now. I don't think there's really a reputable quality brand out there, you know, take it outside of HVAC, that doesn't have a presence. I mean, that's the world we live in. So I think there's certainly the pressure to, you know, not necessarily compete at that social media level, in addition to the product level and the advertising levels of you know, all the other facets of the industry. But there's definitely, you have to have that presence.
You're kind of dead in the water if you don't have a Facebook page these days,
exactly.
Unfortunately.
Exactly. And that's even at a manufacturer level. And certainly some are better than others. And, you know, we feel like we're fortunate to be, again, partnered with kind of two that seem to get it more so than some of the other ones. And they kind of make it easy to regurgitate some content when we're slow for social media. So that's always, you know, a really huge plus.
And I think another big benefit too is, not that we ever really want our manufacturers to circumvent the supply chain, because we would obviously be out of a job, but they do a really good job of generating brand awareness and leads among homeowners. And then that creates some bottom-up demand. You know, if a homeowner has no idea what the heck ductless is, they're never going to call a contractor who's going to call us to sell them a system. So we rely pretty heavily on ensuring that the manufacturers are, you know, marketing to homeowners and creating some brand awareness so that we stay in business.
Yeah, and I think they do a really good job of acknowledging that they've got that responsibility as well. You know, I mean, that's their responsibility. So, and they do a really good job, again, of... we're fortunate that Mitsubishi and American Standard do a really good job of understanding and leveraging the opportunity that social media creates.
Yep. So in terms of the supply chain, we just touched on manufacturers, and then that would bring us to our level as the distributor.
I can't speak to this at all.
You can't speak to it at all. You have no expertise in HVAC wholesale. So, obviously, we're on social media. If you're listening to the podcast, chances are you've heard about it because we've been blasting it on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. And I don't want to say that we really stand alone. I don't like to toot our own horn here too much, but, you know, Brendan, maybe you can shed a little bit more light. Do you see a lot of distributors, even not necessarily in our industry, leveraging social media? Do you think they could do a better job, you know, at the risk of tipping off competitors?
I think it It all depends on your market. I think there's standouts in every market. Mm-hmm. You know, I try and do my best, I guess, to keep my eye on the industry as a whole, in addition to just our localized area here in Pittsburgh and Western PA. But, you know, it's interesting. My dad always says we can only control what we can control. And I'm a very strong believer in that. But I we can also learn from everywhere. So I'm always, since 7 years ago when I created the Facebook page and the social media accounts, you know, from that point forward, we've really been trying to connect and find and look for who else was doing this, because, you know, we can't do it on our own. And it's certainly valuable if, you know, distributors in non-competing areas are getting involved. So I keep my eye out on it. And there's definitely guys that are doing things, you know, more so than others. And to be honest, I look at us and I still, you know, think we could be doing more, leveraging it better. And there's always room to improve. So, but yeah, I think it's about 50-50, I think, on the distributor level. I think, you know, we're in a really unique, call it old school industry. So it's not, hasn't been maybe, as we'll talk about at the contractor level as well, I guess, but it hasn't been necessarily as easily adopted.
It hasn't reached that tipping point yet where
we're not, I think we're starting to get there, but you know, we're still, there's not that pressure. Like you have to be there or you will go out of business just yet.
So I want to mention too, I can speak to our social media, and I feel like a lot of people think like, okay, if I don't really have like a, let's say, quote unquote, sexy product, you know, I'm not selling shoes, I'm not selling clothes. Like, how is this valuable to me? And even if I'm not marketing an end user, which is, you know, ultimately in our case, we don't market directly to the homeowner. How can I leverage social media? You know, I'm not going out. I'm not trying to, you know, we're not selling a furnace directly to a homeowner. So why would this be valuable to us? And I think a lot of the success that we've seen on social media has been, particularly in instances where we're not selling anything at all, maybe other than ourselves. Exactly. We do a pretty good job, I think, of just making sure that we stay relevant. So just, you know, trying to appear on feeds and remain top of mind, whether or not we're, you know, celebrating a success or just saying, hey, by the way, it was our 30th anniversary last month, like, woohoo, something like that. And I think a really good example of this is recently we started Humans of CSI, which, if you are not familiar,
hat tip, Mary Beth.
Hat tip to me. If you're not familiar with Humans of New York, I highly recommend checking out the blog. I'll just give a quick rundown. It's a guy that walks around New York City all day, picks a person, takes a photo of them, and then just asks them a couple questions and does sort of a paragraph write up about their life. Anything. There is really no topic that's, you know, off. I don't know, off limits, we'll say. So I wanted to do something like this with CSI because we've seen time and time again with our own web traffic, our people page is visited hands down, far and away, above every other page that we have on CSIPGH.com, somewhat ironically. So we decided we were going to leverage that. How else can we get people, our customers, to know the staff of CSI? So we decided to start Humans of CSI. And Brendan, read me those web stats.
Highest page to date.
Highest page to date. And that just featured yours truly. If my Humans of CSI was our
super
kickoff.
The simplest post I think we've ever done.
Yeah. It was a photo of me. And all I said was, hey, I wanted to start Humans of CSI because I wanted to give a look kind of behind the curtain of the people that helped make our company a success. That was it. I wasn't selling them anything. It wasn't anything extraordinary, to be completely honest. And yeah, it was the highest view page of all time. So that's huge. I'm going
huge.
Viral.
You're
going viral.
As viral as you can be.
So I think that warrants a conversation about how can you make social media valuable. And I just want everybody out there that's listening, not that I'm an expert by any means, but I just don't want you to think, well, you know, I have to always craft a carefully worded message on how I'm going to sell this product or this service. And that isn't necessarily the case. It's the conversation should be, how can I stay relevant? Whether it's, you know, just a photo, it's a job photo, you're giving yourself an accolade, you're talking about a customer. There's so many different ways that you can continue to post valuable content. And it doesn't all have to be necessarily related to what you sell or what you do.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And I think it's incredibly valuable for contractors to keep that in mind when thinking about who they're talking to.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that, as Mary Beth said, we've really come to realize that the people is what obviously makes up Comfort Supply and what makes, we feel, makes Comfort Supply special. And really, you know, as contractors, I think it's all about finding out whatever that is that makes them special and how to leverage that and use that on social media, yeah. You know.
Let's talk about the contractor level then, because we've seen a lot of, I'll say, hesitation on the part of some of our contractors of, do I really need to make a Facebook page, or, you know, I'm thinking about retiring in the next decade. Why do I need a Twitter feed? And I can absolutely understand where that argument comes from, because so many of these guys are extremely busy. They've been doing what they do for 40 years. And now all of a sudden some young kid comes in and says, hey, you got to be on Instagram. And they're like, Insta what? Who? You know, they don't see the value in it. And this is my pitch, I guess, to persuade you otherwise as to why it can be valuable. And ultimately, I would say that, as I've stated before, there is a shift in marketing tactics, not just in our industry, but in all industries. Everybody is now more or less on social media, whether or not that's their primary source of advertising. I would argue that pretty much any brand that you follow, that you know about, they have a page. And you want to be a part of that conversation. So you absolutely, I think, need at the bare minimum to have some sort of presence, you know, and how much you utilize it is ultimately up to the contractor. But I think, yes, I would say absolutely, at a bare minimum, start a Facebook page, get your name out there. You want to be Googleable. I don't know if I said
Googleable.
That right. Googleable.
Yeah. Googleable.
if someone Googles Joe's HVAC, you want to make sure that something's coming up, whether it's a website or your Twitter feed or whatever it is. You want to make sure that that you're there. Whether or not you're the first that shows up is a completely different conversation, but so much of the buying process begins online. So if you are not online, that's a huge problem, I would say. And we just had we had someone come in a couple weeks ago, and he said, okay, you know, I keep hearing I need to be on Facebook. What do I do? I don't know anything about this. And so we just sat down with him and we said, okay, like, just, you have to create a page and then just put your logo up, put a good.
Yeah. And his big thing was, what was it? Do I have to be on Facebook and in order for my company to be on Facebook? And I thought that was funny because, yeah, he wanted no parts of the personal side of Facebook, but he at least understands the need and the opportunity for having a company page. So, and unfortunately, yes, you do need to have an individual personal Facebook profile to, in fact, manage a company page on Facebook. So, for anyone listening, that is necessary.
You can create kind of like a ghost personal page, we'll say. Really all you need is like your name and your email address. So as long as you have that, you don't need to friend anybody on Facebook, but at a bare minimum, you need to have your name and an email address linked to that business page. So if for anybody who's hesitant, like, hey, I don't really want to be on Facebook, but my business needs to be, just know that it's a pretty minimal requirement on a personal level.
Very non-intrusive.
So let's steer this conversation then towards the homeowners, because ultimately that's the customer here. Through the entire supply chain, we're working towards getting homeowners to look at different brands, to look at brands we carry specifically in terms of buying. And as I stated before, a lot of the buying process begins online. So I think it benefits everybody in the supply chain to be able to reach out to those homeowners. And I see a really good way to do that in today's age is via social media.
Well, yeah, and you look at it, I mean, there's so many touch points, right, for the homeowner now, especially just, you know, let's take, for instance, Facebook, because it's easy. As a homeowner, you know, let's take someone that's really maybe not connected with the industry, and, you know, you talk about the, you know, 6 degrees of separation or whatever it is, and before long you find that they know someone that maybe knows someone that's related to someone that knows somebody else that happens to know this guy, and now they've connected with that person on Facebook. You know, that the first place that they're going to go look is they're going to hear about a company, and more often than not, I would say Google them, or probably then go to Facebook. If they don't have a website, then, you know, hopefully they've got a Facebook page to check out. So really being in that world, and then, you know, kind of knowing a little bit of the behind the scenes in terms of how you can target and define your audience as a promoter, you know, from the brand to the distributor to the contractor level. There's just so many opportunities to get to that homeowner now. When you really talk about, you know, like a triangle of attack in terms of that manufacturer, and then you pair CSI, and then you throw a contractor into it, you can now kind of surround the homeowner a little bit, if you will, with, you know,
like we're going to war
a little bit. But I mean, that's kind of how I think about it, in terms of, you know, we certainly have 30 really great people who live their own lives outside of these four walls, and those relationships ripple, and those relationships ripple, and you know, they are people wear our values and our products on their sleeves every day. You know, I mean, we get so much business that we're able to pass on to our contractors from, I know so-and-so, well, you should call so-and-so, you know? So, it's huge, and the homeowners are everywhere. I mean, we're all homeowners, yeah. You know? So I think at the end of the day, while you're still in the industry, you still know people that aren't, and they're all on, for the most part, social media somewhere to be found.
Yeah. And so I kind of have a funny story to tie all of this together. This was probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We were having, it was our Mitsubishi Electric Diamond Contractor Award Ceremony. We were handing out, you know, awards to all of our diamond contractors for their extraordinary work in 2017. So I couldn't have timed this better if I needed to. One of the topics of conversation that night was convincing a room full of these diamond contractors, hey, you should really be on social media if you're not there. And that day, I'm getting ready to get onto the event, and I'm just scrolling through Facebook, and I saw a girl that I went to college with. She said, you know, she lives in an older home. She said, hey, does anybody have a good, reputable HVAC guy that they can recommend? We need to get air conditioning for our house. We live in this old house. I think we're going to have to go with those wall units. I don't really know what to do. And I kind of laughed, and I was like, yes, as a matter of fact, I know a thing or two about that, and I can probably recommend a few people. So I just, you know, she had a whole list of recommendations for different area contractors. And so I gave her my 2 cents, and then I was just laughing to myself, because I thought this is just such a perfect timing for why this is valuable. Because 10 years ago, if you would have said, hey, did you know that in the future, if you're looking for an installer for your home, like that's going to be the first place you'd go, I'd be like, no, I'm going to check the yellow pages. I'm not going to go on Facebook and ask somebody for a recommendation. And then it just timed perfectly that day that she was looking for somebody I was able to recommend. And as far as I know, she probably now booked this job, and
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. So it was just really ironic, because I kind of got to see everything full circle. It's easy to stand in front of a room of people and say, hey, you really need to be on social media. But just as someone who's also on social media, I can see the value in that as
well. I mean, if you're not, someone else is, I think is a good point too. So
that's very true.
You know, if you didn't see it, someone else was bound to, and that business was going to go somewhere else. So, yeah. You know, it's not really about, you know, having to. I think it's, you know, do you want to, and do you recognize that there's opportunity?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So let's segue that conversation to websites, because this is another question we get asked a lot. A lot of the guys that we work with, they're kind of old school. They might not have an online presence at all. And I think a question we get asked a lot is, okay, well, what's more important? Do I want to do a website first or a social media? And I would argue that it's a chicken or the egg conversation. And I think a couple years ago, the automatic answer would be you definitely want a website. And I don't know that that is the answer that I would give to somebody today. Well, what would you say if someone came in and said, okay, I have $5,000 to spend either on getting a really good Facebook page and some social media advertising out there or creating a website, what would you tell them to do?
I would, for $5,000, I would focus all of it, not into a website or a free website and then drive. Use the budget to drive to that or a social media page. I think in today's world of buying patterns, you don't necessarily you need to be online, but I don't know that a web page is important. But if budget is a concern, then I think a Facebook page, especially for some of our smaller customers, is, you know, we do business with guys that, you know, one or two men in a truck, so in a couple trucks. So if there's not a lot of room in a budget, then I think you definitely want to take your focus more towards what can you do. You know, you don't want to throw money at a solution or come up with these grand plans and then not be able to execute and just kind of be left spinning wheels. Whereas, you know, social media is something that you can sit down on your couch for a night and fine tune a Facebook page and go live by the morning, and you've now got a presence.
Yeah.
For free.
Yeah.
And I, you know, with a website, they need to be maintained. There's some type of technical knowledge. Now, there's some really great solutions for free websites. We run two dealer locator websites out of GoDaddy website builders that do just fine. And, you know, we drive traffic to those through different mediums, and it works out great. You can go that route, but I think in terms of a strategy, I would say no. Websites would not necessarily be my go-to off-the-cuff answer right now.
Yeah, I would take a similar stance. I've said in the past, I think websites might be dying, and I don't mean, okay, let me just take my website offline. That's not what I mean. I just mean, whereas previously that was the only avenue, there's a lot of alternative routes to take now. And those alternative routes are actually really good and really efficient routes. So I would agree. I think that a website is really valuable if it's set up for e-commerce. And in most cases, I would say probably in every case, the contractors we work with, people aren't buying online. So if your ultimate goal is to get people to buy online, then yes, you want to drive traffic to your website because that's one less person that has to answer a phone or an email or take an order. But because of the industry that we're in, I think ultimately the information that they're going to get from a website is, okay, here is my address, here is my phone number, here is an email address. These are all of the ways that you can get in touch with us to place an order, to get a quote. So for that reason, I think if you have a really good social media presence, a website isn't necessarily a must, I don't think. Now, for other industries, I think a lot of people would take the counter argument, but we're just going to focus on ours for now. And like Brendan said, there are a lot of, you know, Wix, for example, you can build a website for free with minimal knowledge. And I can say, as the person that built the CSI website and the person that maintains it today, they are kind of a behemoth. There's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes, a good amount of technical knowledge, and they need to be maintained. There's constantly plugins that you need to update. It requires a little bit of coding knowledge. And I say a little bit because that's about all of the coding knowledge that I have. So I think for a lot of guys, unless they're paying somebody else to maintain their website, that's probably not something that they have the time for, nor the interest. Yeah, I
mean, you know, you know, we're in the HVAC industry. We're not in the website industry. So, and that's something that we've certainly, you know, three expensive website rebuilds later, we're, you know, coming to realize. And, you know, it is what it is. And like Mary Beth said, it's definitely upkeep. You don't want to spend a lot of money investing in a website and then, you know, products change, programs change, part numbers change. You need to stay on top of that. You don't want someone to come to your website and you've got 3-year-old equipment on there and it doesn't even look like, you know, you really pay attention to that thing. Well, that's probably doing you less good than having no website at all. It looks like maybe you went out of business, or, you know, you stopped paying attention to your business as opposed to, hey, here's this nice, clean-looking Facebook page or whatever.
I would agree with that. And this is, I mean, my opinion isn't necessarily the opinion held by everybody, because I feel like, you know, given that I did our website and I maintain it, I'm a little bit of a snob, or I should say I'm a little bit particular about people's websites. But if, yeah, I would agree that if I go to a website and it looks like, you know, you can practically see the cobwebs on the interwebs, to me, that's not necessarily a good sign. I'm thinking like, okay, yeah, is this person still in business? Do they not really care about the image that they're projecting? And ultimately, it is about image. So if you think of your website as a representation of your brand, it's kind of, you want it to look good. You don't want it to look like, you know, a crumbled, stained shirt that's just hanging out there for everybody to see. You want it to be nice. So I think if you are interested in starting a website, definitely make it an investment and realize that it is an investment. You're going to have to pay somebody to do it right. You're going to have to pay them to maintain it. And if that's not something that you're necessarily willing to do, or it's not in the budget, then you know, I think you can go without it. I don't think it's a must anymore, but I think social media, I would argue, is a must. And if not today, then 2 years from now, I think if you don't have at least a Facebook page, you're kind of non-existent to trouble. A lot of, you're in trouble.
Yeah. And I'll just tie a bow on that by saying, you know, as always, if there's anybody out there that is looking for help, obviously within our market, with this kind
Joe's
of stuff.
Joe's Cobbler over in Seattle, Washington. Sorry, we can't help you.
Yeah. If you're out there, call Jensco. But no, but for real, if there's any local, you know, of our customers out there listening and you are, you know, as always, we're here to help. And that's what we feel our duty is to our customers, is to guide you and stuff like this. So
you can always tweet us at CSIPGH. And if it's something that we can respond to with a tweet, even if you're not necessarily in our industry, if it can be responded to via tweet, we're happy to do that.
Yeah. We do our best to, be as engaging as possible. Facebook messages or Twitter's absolutely great as well. We, certainly want to carry on these conversations. I think to say that we don't want to help is a little harsh, but I, you know, if there are, for any reason, you know, we have no idea who's listening to this, but if there are contractors out there that are not our customers, and well, if you're in our industry, then give us a call. But but if you're outside of our territory, then hopefully you've got a distributor that's trying to look after you in this way. And if you don't, then maybe we do know somebody in your area. So don't hesitate to reach out. And we certainly want to, you know, if there's distributors that are interested in what we're doing, give us a holler. We love talking about this kind of stuff.
So let's move the conversation towards maybe some best practices. Like, what are some tactics and strategies that a lot of contractors can use if they don't have a Facebook page and they're looking to maybe create one, get some marketing efforts out there? Like, you know, maybe what's a, maybe give me three tips. Like, what are three things that you think people should do in order to start that presence? Step one being obviously create.
Yeah,
set
I mean,
page.
It's easy enough to create it. Like I said, I think that's an evening on your couch with a nice drink in your hand, and you
might need that drink, especially if you've never created a Facebook page.
Yeah, and if you're not super creative either. But no, I think step one, create the page, and I'll sub point one. I think is a good, clean, understandable profile picture, whether it's your logo or a picture of a truck, something that is going to be associated when you show up and arrive at the consumer's location. In addition to that, sub point 1-2, I guess, we'll say, some type of engaging cover photo, obviously to, again, represent your company's values and what kind of products you're carrying. And then really from there, I think it's, step two, I guess I would, it's funny, I go back to like the early Twitter days and it was like funny and then you were like a loser, but it was like a common tweet always around, anywhere between like 6 and 8 a.m. was always like, hello world, That's almost what I like, that's to me, that's step two, and announce your presence. And it's going to feel like you're typing a message to nobody. And that's because you probably are, let's be real. You're going to have zero likes when that Facebook
page
goes live.
That's how we are with this podcast.
We
don't know.
Exactly.
Three people might listen to this.
There's no one listening to this right now, but you have to do it.
You have to start somewhere.
You have to start somewhere. So by putting yourself out there, I think is step two, and you've already kind of done that, with step one by getting there. And then I think step three is, you know, I'm going to be a little bit more esoteric with this one. I think commit, you know, and just make it a part of the way you do business and think about it. You know, we were talking in one of our strategy meetings about kind of the way, you know, how do we post what we post? Where do we get it from? And really it's kind of just ingrained in us now. And every time something happens here, we run it through this grinder. Do we post that? Is it relevant? When do we post it? How do we post it? Is it a blog? Is it a photo album? Is it a text tweet? You know, I mean, and I think it's committing to that social presence and saying, okay, everything I do, I'm going to run it through the social grinder and get it back out there.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give my own kind of 3 points here, just because I think you made a lot.
Are they better than mine?
I don't know. Well, that might, it's to be decided. I said three, and then
should put it to a poll.
We'll put a poll at the end. Whose points were better? No, I think all of your points were really good, but then as you were speaking, I was kind of like, oh, what about this and what about that? I would say even before you create a website, before you create a social media account, my first question to anybody is, do you have a logo? And by that, I mean something that is visually identifying. This is not like your free business card that you made online or something that just says Bob's HVAC on the side of your truck. Is there a specific lettering that you use? Is there a specific color? Is there a specific image? I want you to just think of all of the big brands that you know, whether it's Coca-Cola or FedEx. They use specific colors. There's consistency. Do you have a logo? And if not, that would be absolutely step one in terms of how do you market yourself. Find your local, you know, art institute. You can probably, you know, put an ad out there on Craigslist. Hey, I need an art student to create a logo for me. $50. Now you have a logo. That logo goes on your business card. It goes on your t-shirts. It goes on your truck wrap. Be consistent. You want somebody to see your truck driving by and say, oh, that's Bob's HVAC. I know them. They're down the street from me. They did an install on, you know, my friend's house last year. You want something that is recognizable. So do a logo. My second point here would be, once you have a logo, make sure that you're utilizing that on whatever, you know, on
everywhere.
Your website. Everywhere. Yes. Everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, we put our logo on everything.
Everything,
whether it's an invoice or an invitation, our logo is on there somewhere. We want somebody to pick it up, and without even reading it, we want them to know, oh, this is from Comfort Supply. So I think like that kind of goes into a conversation about branding, and I'm sure that'll be dedicated to a future episode. But step one, develop your brand.
So that was all just one?
That was, we'll call that two.
That was a lot of points.
Okay. We'll call that two. And then
you're
my third point.
You're definitely going to win the poll.
I'm going to win the poll. My third would be, if you're really struggling to figure out, content, like what can I put, how can I stay relevant? Like we said before, realize that it doesn't always have to be a sale that you're making. If you have an employee and this is their 20th anniversary, they've been with the company for 20 years, it's your secretary, put that on there. People care about that stuff. You know, why do you think baby photos get so many likes on Facebook? It's because people want to celebrate with you. It's social media is always the most curated, best version of yourself. So be your own advocate, celebrate your wins. I would say if you are looking at your books and you're like, hey, sales are up 50% this year, put it out there. Tell people that. Like, yeah. People care about that kind of thing. And it can feel a little awkward at first because you feel like you're tooting your own horn. But as the saying goes, if you don't toot your own horn, there's nobody else that's going to do it for you. Ain't nobody going to toot your horn for you. So if it's something small like that, if you're really struggling, like week in, week out, oh, what do I put? Photos. People love photos. Visual content is huge. Here is a picture of a furnace that I took out of the house. It was 30 years old. Here's the new one I put in. And then give a quick blurb about it. Why was this the best solution for that particular customer? And then that's something that's really easy because you can post job photos. I mean, you're always going to have another job that you can do photos of. Just keep regurgitating it week in, week out. I think that's a really good way to stay relevant.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said earlier, our people is what we have found works for us, you know, or one of the things that works for us. Certainly we've got great products and we give great support and we've got really great brains here, but that's what works for us, you know, and maybe we certainly hope that, you know, you are one of the reasons why your business does well, but you know, if you don't want to be the center stage, you don't have to be, you know, make your company the center stage or make your product the center stage, but, or make your picture perfect, clean installs center stage, but, you know, leverage what you're good at and be authentic and your authentic self, I guess I'll close the tactics and strategies with this. Your authentic self will always do better than any pretend post or, you know, fakeness that's out there.
And I would say a sub point to that is use good judgment. Yes, you want to be completely authentic. You want to be transparent, but remember to draw the line between personal and business. Your business page or your business Twitter account is not the place to start airing your political views, your stances on, you know, whatever the conversation of the day is. Definitely don't talk about religion, politics. Basically, if you would not talk about it at the dinner table with relatives who may or may not agree with you, don't put it on your business Facebook page. The last thing you want to do is start airing out all of these grievances, and then a potential customer is like, oh, I was going to call him, but, you know, I don't really necessarily take his political stance, so I'm going to find the next guy on the list. You know, just use some good judgment there.
Yeah, absolutely. If you wouldn't talk about it at selling at the kitchen table, then don't put it out on your business page.
Exactly. Okay. And then we obviously can't produce this podcast without talking about the elephant in the room, which is privacy concerns. This is a huge hot topic at the moment because as of today, it was a couple weeks ago, Facebook had a huge data breach. And I think a lot of people are kind of like, what happened? I don't really know. The 30-second rundown is they had a third-party developer who was able to get a ton of information, not only from their users, but all of their users' friends. So 2 degrees away at that point. And they used all of that information. They found essentially that they could understand Facebook users essentially better than they knew themselves. So if they could follow your activity and see if you like these 10 things, now this this developer knows you better than your coworker knows you. If you've liked 300 things and they can track that, they quite honestly know you better than you know yourself. And
that's
they
scary.
Are, yeah, it is scary. Why do you think there are so many really,
I'm gonna stop liking things.
Yeah. Why do you think there are so right many now. Really specific targeted ads that find you on Facebook? It's because Facebook is a behemoth. It knows your behavior. It knows when you're hovering over something, but you don't click it. It knows what you like, what you don't like. And it can really predict. It's very predictive in terms of consumer behavior, which is fascinating to me as a marketer and terrifying to me as a user, as a parent, to know that really technology these days knows you better than you know yourself. So let's talk privacy concerns. You know, Brendan, what are your thoughts? Do you think that this is going to be an uphill battle? Is Facebook going away?
I don't think anything's going away. I guess I won't sugarcoat my views. I think if you don't think that Facebook and Google and Amazon and the major online entities of the world, I think if you don't think that they're storing and doing something with your data, then you're just being incredibly naive.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because of my age and growing up in more of a internet laden world and just not having not been, you know, having kind of just grown up in that, it doesn't ever really surprise me when I see these things that, you know, Google knows all this about you and like you said that this guy was able to develop this. I mean, I think that technology's kind of comes with the territory, I guess, and I think if you don't want Facebook to have it, then don't have a Facebook page, I guess, is all I can tell you. You know, I mean, I certainly didn't go down the Gmail road like a lot of people did, you know, not intentionally. I just didn't choose to, but I, you know, public emails, public, I think you've said it before. It's in the notes. There's no such thing as free, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and like that's, you know, Gmail isn't free. It might seem free, but it's not. I mean, you're paying for it one way or mm-hmm. another, right?
Yeah. I agree with that. I think at this point, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Facebook is not going to go away. Certainly, Facebook needs to do a lot of things better in the future to protect people's information and to make sure that essentially their information is not being used against them, as is the case in recent times. And they need to do a better job, I think, of kind of like policing to make sure that whatever information is being put out there isn't being used against them in a way that is detrimental, we'll say, you know, that someone's not using it to spread misinformation or to target you with things that just quite frankly aren't true. So I certainly think that they need to do things better, and I think they will. But at the same time, Facebook is not going to go away. There's over a billion users on Facebook. A billion people are not going to just, you know, wash their hands and say, oh, I'm done with you. I always say that Facebook's kind of like an abusive relationship. Like, you leave for a little while and then you come back and then you're like, oh, you did me wrong this time, I'm leaving. And then you go back. I mean, that's just how it is. It's the way of the world. I think the better conversation to have is, how can you leverage Facebook, you know, personally and business wise, to make sure that you're getting the best out of it and that you're not being taken advantage. But Facebook is not going to go away. Twitter is not going to go away. Anything that's free is coming at a price. You probably don't see that price up front, but you're paying for it in some way. And unfortunately, I hate to say it is how it is, but that's the way of the world. That is the world that we live in these days, and that's not going to change. And to be quite frank, it's probably going to get worse.
So it's
just a matter of finding a way to navigate that world moving forward. So I think we're next going to talk to a couple of millennials. Are we millennials?
No, we're Gen X.
We're Gen X.
Okay. No, I'm sorry.
Gen Y.
We're Gen Y. 81 to 91 is okay. Gen Y.
We are Gen Y.
But Gen Y and Gen Z collectively make up millennials, but I'm going to pretend I don't know that because I don't agree.
Because we like to shit talk millennials for hijacking everything good in this world. Okay.
That's right. So, but yeah, we're gonna bring in Max and Sarah, a couple younger, truer millennial perspective, a couple younger CSI employees. When we be right back.
All right, we're back. I am here with two live millennials.
Live
millennials. To the dead millennials we have outside. We've got two actual millennials with us. Why don't you guys introduce yourself? Just name what you do at CSI, how old you are.
Okay, my name is Sarah Zook. I am formerly Sarah Messner. I am the marketing and events coordinator here at Comfort Supply. I am 26 years old. I was born in 1991, and I graduated from Indiana University of Pennsylvania in 2014.
Alrighty.
My name is Max Moore. I'm 22 years old. I also graduated from Indiana University of Pennsylvania, where I studied economics. I was born in 1995, which does make me a millennial.
Yeah, we're all, unfortunately, everyone in the room is a millennial, sounds like, begrudgingly. But, you know, one thing I'm excited to talk to Max and Sarah about is, because of that slight age difference and kind of the two segments of quote-unquote millennials, is there's, you know, I've noticed, I guess, a difference, you know, in the way even Mary Beth and I use social media in regards to Max and Sarah. So we thought it'd be interesting to grab them and get a little bit of perspective and pass that perspective along, hopefully, to the contractors that are listening, because, you know, this is really the, you know, this is part of that, you know, homeowner and future homeowner market that we were talking about earlier.
So let's start the conversation. Do you remember life before social media? Like, when did you start using social media? Because for me and Brendan, that came out when we were in college, and Facebook was like this exclusive club that you need to have like a .edu email address to be a part of. And then obviously it's changed tremendously over the years. So give me your earliest social media memory.
Well, the earliest was sixth grade in MySpace.
So you have a MySpace page out there somewhere.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. Sixth grade. So that's like, what, 12 years old probably?
Yeah.
12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah, how about you?
So, I was actually in fifth grade when I got my first phone, which was one of those Nokia phones.
Ooh, yeah. Wow.
But yeah, I was in middle school. when we started AIM and then Xanga and MySpace, and then it went to Facebook. So,
I think I would probably exclude AIM from like the true social. You know, I think that's a little bit more of like a. I mean, I guess it was social media, but it was more personal to personal contact. I still though, I mean, fifth and sixth grade with a MySpace page blows my mind.
Yeah. Quick detour here. So Brendan and I, we go way back. We used to chat on AIM back. We were. I don't know.
Really?
Why are we talking about this?
No one cares. Just going down memory lane trying to think of AIM.
Let's talk about millennial. Sick of the issue. Can we talk about millennial buying patterns, please?
Okay. So, obviously we've come a long way since MySpace. I don't even know if people use MySpace anymore. Maybe. Max probably will have to go look for his account out there somewhere. But
we'll find Max's somewhere, but it does exist.
Good luck.
We'll find it. What social media platforms do you use today? Like, what are the ones that are on your phone? What is occupying your time when you're staring down at your phone?
I use Instagram the most, and Snapchat. I have a Twitter, but I don't use it too much, and I don't really use Facebook at all anymore.
Okay.
That's more or less just for my mom. So she knows that some follows me some way. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a Twitter, a Snapchat, an Instagram, and a Facebook. The most I'm using is Instagram and Snapchat. I barely ever use Twitter. Last time I used it, I was in college. And Facebook I normally use to see, like, family and friends back in Harrisburg.
Okay. So largely visual for both of you, then. It's Instagram and Snapchat.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's why I was never really into Twitter, because I'm definitely much more of a visual girl. So that's why I'm always on Instagram or Snapchat.
Okay. So how, in terms of marketing, do you feel like you are marketed to a lot on the social media platforms? When you're buying things, is it because, like, oh, I saw this ad on Twitter, I saw this ad on Instagram or whatever? Like, how effective do you think social media is in marketing to millennials?
I definitely think it's super effective. Both, and again, I know I said I wasn't on Facebook a lot, but I am on Facebook a good bit as well. On Facebook, I'll check things out and buy off of Facebook. Also on Instagram a lot, and I just was on there about a week ago, and I bought all natural dog food off of an ad on Instagram.
So they got you hook, line, and sinker. They saw all the pictures of your dog, and they were
got tons of pictures of my dog on there, and they saw me, and they figured I'm going to come get her.
They know that Berkeley Bean's weakness.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's really interesting, though, because, you know, they, from her behavior on Instagram, they said, okay, here is a girl. She has, you know, a significant amount of disposable income. She obviously loves her dog. Mm-hmm. She'll probably be willing to spend a little bit more on this, like, natural organic dog food. And so they targeted their ads to you, and lo and behold, you bought it. Whereas, 5 years ago, they would have had to maybe do a commercial mass market, and who knows whether you would have ever seen it or not.
Absolutely. But I think the things that I'm buying off of Instagram are things that I don't need. It's not like it's an everyday type thing. Like the dog food, I mean, I could very easily go up to Pet Supply Plus and buy something up there. And it, like you said, it's a little more expensive, but also I did recently buy a juice cleanse, which I absolutely also did not need. That I got off Instagram as well. So they get me a lot.
And would, just to dig deeper there, would you say are you looking to engage with brands on Instagram, or they just happen to find you?
I think they just happen to find me, to be honest with you. Gotcha. I'm definitely just like a sucker for that kind of stuff. But I think that's really common. I can also think my husband was on Instagram not too long ago, and he bought a fidget cube.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he saw it. He saw it on there. And again, something that's so not needed, but we buy it anyways.
Yeah.
Because it's so well marketed to you. What about you, Max? Is there something recently, like, where they got you hook, line, and sinker, and you're like, oh my God, that I need that?
Well, like, I agree with Sarah. Like, I'm not going to see, like, an ad for toothpaste on Instagram and be like, oh, yeah, I need that toothpaste.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about the disposable income that they're trying to make you spend.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, you know, I watch a lot of dirt bike videos on Instagram and stuff. And I just, you know, I posted something, you know, that I bought a bike, and I see ads all the time for helmets and seat covers and stuff like that. And it brings me at least to the website.
Sure. And I think, you know, these are all really great points, because, you know, if you go through my feed, it's sneakers and golf and Mary Beth, I'm sure it's yoga pants and whatever. So, to back to our earlier conversation, you know, I mean, they know that information about us, and they're targeting, you know, there's promoters out there buying that information and targeting it. So, you know, to the contractors, you're fully capable of buying those targets and promoting to them as well.
So let's kind of switch gears here a little bit, because at least with our industry, it's kind of a different buying pattern. It's not dog food. It's if you need you know, a new furnace, that's a little bit different of a buying pattern than hey, I need a new dirt bike helmet or something. It's more of a necessity, we'll say. So walk me through, as a millennial, what is your buying pattern for kind of a big expense, whether it's something for the house or something that you have to give a little bit more thought to, as opposed to just like, oh, you mean I can like buy this and it'll be here Thursday? How would you, and I don't want to, let's leave HVAC out of this, because I don't want to have it be too, you know, biased, but let's say, you need a new roof, or you need a new car. It's a big purchase. Like, walk me through the stages of buying. What would you do?
I think research is key. You're not gonna, if you're going out and you're spending money, like good money, on something that you do need, you want to put your full trust in research, and Google reviews are huge. Just making sure that you're not going down a path you don't want to go down, and just, you know, trying to back up your purchase and make it worthwhile.
So you're going
to
do some research on it then?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've been in my house 4 years now, and so far I've had no problems.
That means problems are coming.
That means they're coming.
In threes.
So knock on wood, nothing happens. But I would do the exact same thing Max just said. Definitely do my research ahead of time. And a good example of this is, my parents just recently moved to Pittsburgh. They bought a house not too far away, but they wanted to completely gut everything, which they're currently in the process. Basically, what we did is also kind of asked around, got word of mouth, first thing. So, and some of the people that she had come out, some of the contractors she had come out to the house, were just like local family and friends, saying that, you know, they've used them in the past, they did a great job. Secondly, we also went down to the Pittsburgh Home and Garden Show. When we were down there, we collected tons and tons of business cards. We took those back. We looked online. We looked at the websites. We read the Google reviews. You know, some of them took us to their Facebook pages. We read the reviews on their Facebook pages. So I think the two biggest things, I mean, it's doing your research, but it's also reading those reviews and, you know, hearing what other people have to say.
So, I mean, I think for me, where I guess I might differ a little bit from Sarah and Max, just being, you know, a couple years older, I think one of the first places I would go would be like, you know, on Facebook, hey, I need a new roof. Does anybody have a roofer that they can recommend? And sort of crowdsource it that way. Let people come to me instead of me going out to do the research. And I think that's sort of where there's this divergence in how people use Facebook. Even, you know, Sarah's just a couple years younger than me. I'm more of that generation of, okay, like I use it and I'm going to utilize it to get that kind of information. But reviews are pretty big, and you're gonna do your due diligence, essentially, and you want to make sure that someone's reputable. So, you know, I would say, if, like, let's say you pick up a card at the Pittsburgh Home and Garden Show, when you go, you Google this person and they have no online presence, am I safe to assume that card's going right in the trash?
For me, yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Max?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably, I mean, it depends on, like, how my experience was when I met the person at the booth, I guess. If they seemed like a good person and they had good evidence of good work and stuff, maybe not right in the garbage, but I wouldn't
it's
have
not gonna
as
be
much.
At the top of the list.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Right.
I would almost think, like, if I got a business card from somebody and I could find nothing about them online, like, I not that that would be shady to me, but it'd almost be a little bit weird, like, who is this person? Like, did they just start their business?
It's hard to be a complete mystery in 2018.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So if someone is a mystery and they're not on there at all, like, I mean, for me, that card's going in the garbage. I'm going to find somebody else, you know. And unfortunately, like, you know, for a lot of our contractors, I don't want to say you're a dime a dozen. You know, that's not what I mean to say. But there's enough people that are willing to take your business away from you. So if you don't have that presence, someone else is right behind you in line to install that furnace. And, you've got to make sure that you're relevant and that the online image you're projecting is a good one.
As two millennials and younger folks in our industry and, you know, Max, you've been around what, a year now, officially, and then some summers, and then Sarah, four. Mm-hmm. So what would you guys say, like, if there was a piece of advice or just a comment in terms of social media and HVAC that you would want to pass along to our customers and contractors? What would you say that is?
So you're saying people in the industry?
Yeah, yeah. Like, okay, what have you seen in terms of social media and HVAC?
So again, I just think being able to get yourself out there. If you don't have social media, get social media. There, you know, it really doesn't
we
take
didn't
that.
We didn't tell her to say that.
No, seriously though, I tell people all the time, and really, really short story. The company that my mom works for, which is it's a credit union. So they are kind of going through the same thing. Like, how can we need to market to younger people, and how do we do this? And I told her, you need to get on social media. You need to get yourself out there. You need to just start finding people, friend them, figure out a way to get your name out there. And I would say the exact same thing. Like, you need, whatever you need to do, you need to get on social media. You need to get your name out there. And it does not stop after the sale. After you walk out of that house, it's not over. You need to keep putting your name out there, keep posting things, whether it's happy birthday or an anniversary or anything. The smallest thing, you're putting your name out there, you're getting your brand known.
Wow, it's almost like I said the same thing. She was not here for that conversation, by the way. So thank you for reiterating everything I said before.
I think it's a huge thing. I mean, it's basically free marketing.
Yeah.
You just have to go out there and do it yourself. And if you don't, you're missing out on a huge market. It's becoming more frequent that there are younger, I mean, we're buying houses now, kids our age, and they're going to look to see, I mean, social media might even be the first place that they go. So I think that's huge.
Yeah.
I think that's really good insight, Max.
Yeah. Any final thoughts?
The future is online. The future is social media. You need to get out there. Recently I was with my mom and we were actually going to Panera for lunch. And I was like, hang on one second, what do you want? And I ordered it on my phone so that it was ready when we got there. And she literally said that this is what this is coming to. Like, your generation is taking over and doing this kind of stuff.
You're taking over the world.
Yeah. So I would just say it is the future and you need to accept it and adapt. And we're here to help.
Yeah. I think my final point would be one of the fastest growing demographics of Facebook is the 60 and above crowd, it's grandparents. So social media is not only relevant towards millennials, towards younger people, older people are online. And I mean, if you need evidence of that, just scroll through your feed. It's people posting pictures of their grandkids. I mean, Brendan, your mom is on Facebook more than almost anybody I know. Yeah. Sorry, Marcy. Yeah, she's on there all the time. And it's not just for kids. It is for everybody. So I don't want anybody listening to think, oh, it's, you know, that's not necessarily the crowd I'm trying to target to. Everybody's on. Everybody and their mother is literally on Facebook.
Yeah.
So get out there. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode of Full of Hot and Cold Air. Do you have a question or would you like to be featured on a future episode? Get in touch with us. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at FOHAPod. You can also email us at FOHAPod@CSIPGH.com. Remember, that's FOHAPod. Until next time.